David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. This is Coach Mark Feinberg, and he is a biblical life coach. And I'm so excited to get him on the show. It was so tough to get him on the show in the first place because this guy is all over the place. He's always so busy, but I did it. I got him on, and I'm really excited to get him on. So, you know, Mark, tell people a little about yourself and like what you do so they know a little about you.
Oh my goodness, Stacey. You know, it's so funny when I interview people and or if I'm on stage sharing a message, people always think that the expert has it all together. But the reality is, because I didn't have it all together and I was on drugs till I was 30, I dropped out of high school when I was in 11th grade. And because of all the trials and challenges I've been through, those life experiences have equipped me to help other people so many years later. So great question. Great to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me. I grew up in Queens, New York, and you know, I love playing sports, baseball, football, basketball. I was the middle school captain of my basketball team. My nickname, they called me the Jewish Flash. And, you know, we were 2 wins and 10 losses. That was our record.
Oh, wow.
I know you want to make fun of my leadership, but hang in there with me. So 2 wins, 10 losses. And we got snowed out around 6 or 7 games. So the school board pushed all the teams into the playoffs, and we're in last place. So we're playing the first place team, Clarkstown North. They hadn't lost a game the year before. They were champions, and that current year they were, you know, undefeated as well. So in 2 years they hadn't lost a game, and we're playing them in the first round of the playoffs. And with 2 seconds left on the clock, my little buddy, Alan Wexley, puts up a layup and we win. And then we go on to win the next game. And then we go on to win the next game. And then we're playing for the championship
right.
of school basketball in upstate New York. And as the clock winds down, 3, 2, 1, and Havistraw Middle School and the Jewish Flash are the middle school basketball champions. My buddies are on the court high-fiving me and chest-bumping me. Teachers came on the court to tell me how great I was. I mean, the same teacher, Stacy, that had me in detention the day before was telling me how much she loved me. So it was an amazing journey, you know, through middle school and into high school. I went and I tried out for my freshman basketball team, and I got cut. And for the listeners today, I'm sure they'll remember that on that same day in 1979, there was another dude getting cut from his high school basketball team in North Carolina at Laney High School. And that dude was Michael Jordan. And
wow.
So here we are, two kids, Mark Feinberg, the Jewish Flash, and Michael Jordan, Air Jordan. They're both getting cut from high school basketball on the same day. Yet, two boys have the same experience, yet two totally different outcomes.
Right.
Why is that? Well, that was because Mark Feinberg decided he wasn't good enough when he got cut from high school basketball. Michael Jordan decided that he was going to go on after getting cut from high school basketball and prove everybody wrong and become the greatest basketball player of all time. Oh, and so even though we may have similar experiences, the power of the mind and the narrative and the story that we tell ourselves is really the difference. It's the differentiator in life between those that go on through adversity and through obstacles and conquer those challenges to become great, and those that make up these lies that they're not good enough, they're not worthy, and they give up and they quit. And that's the difference.
You know, it's pretty amazing, your story. You know, there are a lot of people out there that, you know, you learn from experience and you push through those obstacles. But there's a lot of people who go through life and they use drugs and alcohol to cope with their obstacles in life and to get through because they just don't have those coping skills. And a lot of people get stuck. They just, you know, they hit rock bottom and they just can't get out of it. You know, how did you actually have the resilience to get yourself to say enough's enough? I want to change in my life. I want to make some of myself. Like, how did you get there? Because, you know, that resilience is a lot. And not a, a lot of people don't know how to get that inner strength out.
What a great question again, Stacy. You know, being a biblical life coach for a dozen years and having retired in my early 40s after selling my wholesale produce company, I found success later on in life after 17 years of drug addiction and after all the pain that I went through and all the blame. You know, I spent a lot of years blaming people, and I blamed God. I blamed people in my life. I blamed myself. You know, my dad, he left my mom when I was six.
Right.
And I made up the story that he left me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't love my mom anymore, but I made up the story he didn't love me.
Right.
So I felt vulnerable and I was afraid and I felt abandoned and betrayed and left behind by my dad. So I looked to the men in the neighborhood for father figures and leadership and mentorship. And by the time I was 11 or 12, I had some really great father figures in my life. And this one father figure, Sheriff Ray, if you opened up my front door in my building, right across the hall, there was his front door. And he was a sheriff and he represented protection and safety and covering for me. And when he would come home at night, I'd jump up in the police car and turn on the sirens and I'd get on the CB, on the walkie-talkie, make believe I was calling in a crime. And, you know, he was just so cool. And he'd take me to upstate Monticello where he had a log cabin and a couple hundred acres. And, you know, at 12 years old, here we are shooting guns and going to charity events. And I remember this, one specific weekend, he takes me up to Monticello and we go shooting. We went to a charity event.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cold that night when we came home. We lit the fireplace and we made some hot chocolates and lots of chocolate on top of the sat in front of the fireplace and we did what we usually did, and he hands me this book and he opens it up and he says, here, read this. And I start reading the book that he had given me at the time. And all of a sudden, it becomes very sexually graphic in content. And then he goes on to touching me. Mm. And he started to doing these things to me that were just unthinkable, unimaginable.
Yeah.
Molested me. And he violated me. And I'm 12 years old. And when he was done, he said, listen, you can't tell anybody. You're going to get in trouble. So just keep this to yourself. And, you know, Sheriff Ray, he had guns and he was the law. And I was scared. So right. I kept that inside. And what I did was, you know, I channeled that energy into sports. And after getting cut from high school basketball, I determined that I wasn't good enough. And that pain was so great that I had to use drugs immediately to cover that pain.
Yeah.
And that went on for 17 years of active drug addiction.
Wow.
And then I was in a training and God delivered me from the drugs and the alcohol in 1 second. What I couldn't do in 10 years going in and out of Narcotics Anonymous.
Yeah.
One training, in one exercise, the light came on for me. And that revelation was, wow, I'm really good at getting clean.
Yeah.
Because 10 years in Narcotics Anonymous, I'd go in, I'd get clean, I'd come back out and get high, and I'd go in and get clean and come back out and get high. And in the 10 years, from 20 to 30 years old, I never put 1 year straight of clean time together. Never 1 year.
Yeah.
And it was in and out, in and out. And I was committed to getting clean because I was always committed to going back out and getting high because I never did my pain. And then that weekend, I shifted the commitment to staying stopped one last time.
Yeah.
That was November 4th, 1994. And so that was the beginning of this new journey.
Right.
About resilience. That was the beginning of a new journey for me where I was delivered and I found freedom from the drugs and alcohol. And after that one weekend in that training, I went on 3 weeks later to the advanced training. The company was called LifeSpring. It was really dynamic in the personal development arena. And I remember the advanced training. We went from 500 people in a ballroom to 45 of us taking on our life at the next level.
Yeah.
And I decided to take on my life at the next level. And I was broke, so I had to borrow a credit card to pay the $1,500 to go away for 5 days. And I went. And the second day, we were in an exercise. I affectionately call it the chair exercise. And I was sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
There was an empty chair across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, I put all the people in my life that had wronged me, that had hurt me, that violated me, that betrayed me, that left me behind, that broke up with me, that divorced me, that left me. Everybody that I had unforgiveness and bitterness towards went in that empty chair. And I did business with every one of them. And at the end of that four-hour exercise, a miracle happened. I was able to get my personal power back. Because what happens is, unforgiveness is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to die.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Right.
Unforgiveness is like me drinking poison, expecting that the other person's going to die. And that wasn't the case. The case was that bitterness, that unforgiveness in me was like a cancer. And it was a block that held me back. Why? Because everybody had my power. Because I felt like everybody owed me something that had hurt me. And I blamed everybody and I wasn't able to take personal responsibility. So the journey starts being delivered from drugs, but it really goes on to a level when I finally forgave. I forgave God, I forgave myself, and I forgave everybody else. And what happened was I got my power back to take personal responsibility and then to create the outcomes and the life that I desired to live in a way like I never had the ability to do before. My capacity changed, my ability to see things clearly changed, and my commitment and desires to my life, to being good to myself and being good to other people, all of that changed for me. And then I was able to go on and be the man of character and the man of resilience that you talk about.
That's amazing. Now, you know, forgiveness is really hard. You know, I speak to people all the time and letting go is really hard. You know, that's a very hard thing to do is to forgive others. Now, you talked about the chair exercise. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the chair exercise is? Because it had a huge impact. You were able to actually let go of everyone that hurt you and it freed you from a life that was pulling you down. And, you know, people struggle every day with forgiveness. They can't forgive. They can't let go. They hold on to the past and they can't focus on the present. So that chair exercise, like, tell me a little bit more about it. I want to hear about it.
You're so right, Stacey. You know, there's three reasons that we don't create the life that we want. And it's because we don't forgive God. We're angry at God. We're resentful towards God for letting a loved one die, for not answering our prayers in the time that we thought he should, for allowing us to lose our money, for allowing our marriage to end in divorce, for allowing somebody to betray us or to cheat us or to violate us or to rob us or to tell us we weren't good enough. You know, we get resentful towards God and we get angry towards God and we don't forgive God because we think it's his fault that, you know, he's allowing these things or causing these things to happen. Then we start beating ourselves up. There's many of us that grew up Jewish. I grew up Jewish before I became a believing Jew, a messianic Jew, a born again Christian.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was this Jewish guilt thing that was always going on. My mother was always like, Mark Richard, God's going to get you. You know, there was this guilt thing that hung over us, this cloud that God was blowing us around and he was going to get us, you know, and he was watching us. And I went on a mission to prove my mother wrong that God was not going to get me. Yeah. And what happens is I started betraying myself, lying to myself, not keeping my word, not showing up on time, doing drugs, doing alcohol, abusing my life, abusing my body, abusing my mind. And we start to hate our life. We start to hate ourselves. You know,
yeah. People
get to the point where they hate themselves so much, they commit suicide. They
cut
their wrists. They start cutting themselves. They continue to use drugs and alcohol. They don't understand how important it is and how imperative it is to forgive themselves. And so, and the third reason is, you know, there's people in our life that have hurt us and betrayed us and harmed us. And, you know, we don't forgive them. And so all of that unforgiveness collectively, it blocks the path to abundance and prosperity and success and love and connection and healthy relationships. Now, the chair exercise, it's really a gestalt exercise. Gestalt, the philosopher, came up with this idea that even though people weren't present, we could actually still have a transaction with them. And in that chair exercise, you know, in that training that LifeSpring facilitated, it was around forgiveness. It was, and part of the chair exercise, as I'm yelling and screaming and kicking at people and punching people that weren't in front of me, but you know, it's like a game, but in the exercise, you know, you're in a state and there's music in the background. And in that room, there was 44 other people screaming at the people in their chairs. And so we're having this transaction with people in an exercise that aren't physically there, but mentally they're there.
Yeah.
Letting them know, I'm just letting all this stuff out. And in a lot of those relationships, I had to then ask for forgiveness for the part that I played,
right,
as a son, as a grandson, as a brother, you know, as a partner in business, as a husband, as a boyfriend. You know, I wasn't perfect. I made a lot of mistakes, and I needed to also not just forgive those people, but ask for forgiveness from them for the, you know, the way that I showed up. So in that exercise, it was two ways. It was, you know, forgiving them and asking for forgiveness. And and even though it was an exercise where they weren't there, I still called a lot of those people and asked them for forgiveness for being unforgiving towards them for what I thought they had done to me. And I was also able to ask for forgiveness. And that was in real time, in real life, whether it was on the phone or in person over lunch. Mm-hmm. And so much healing took place in that. I really believe after love, freedom is probably the second most powerful biblical principle that we can live in.
Oh, definitely. I agree 100% with that. You know, I think a lot of people repress their emotions. You know, things happen in life and we go through trauma, we go through experience that just changes us. And what we do is we tend to naturally, a lot of people just repress those emotions. And I feel like even from my own experience, when you repress emotions, you can get to a point where you're just numb. You don't know how you feel anymore. You're like walking around like a zombie, and you don't, it's like being on a highway. You have six lanes and you just don't know where to turn. You're like lost in life. But if we can get to a point like the chair exercise, and we can just like sit there and think about, okay, who hurt me in my life? Who caused me pain? Where did my life make a U-turn where it started to go bad? You know, what are the things that happened? And then think about it and then just get that anger out. Because I think, you know, anger and fear and resentment, these are things that people hold inside, and they just destroy you. They just like, they rip you apart inside, and people don't realize that, you know, 70% of illnesses are caused by stress. They can kill you, you know, just being so angry. But you were able to free it, you know, and you were able to let go through this chair exercise, which is amazing. And then you ask for forgiveness in certain things. You ask for their forgiveness, which is amazing also, because a lot of people can't get to that point. That's a very hard thing to do, because you not only wanted forgiveness from others and you got the anger out, but you were able to admit when you were wrong. And, you know, a lot of people don't admit when they're wrong. You know, honesty is key. You know, and I always say that, you know, one of the major healing parts is when we can be honest and say, yeah, I took a part of that. You know, part of this is my fault. And I think that's the part where people could heal is that, okay, you took responsibility for yours. And then if the person is mature enough, if they can take responsibility and say, yeah, I wronged you too, then you've got a new bond with that person. You could start fresh, you know, and it seems like, you know, you were able to cross over to that abundance. And did it take time? Because a lot of people in our society are really impatient, but I think healing takes time. You know, how do you feel about that?
It took a lifetime up until that day and that exercise, 30 years.
Yeah.
Come to a place of being willing to let go, surrender, and forgive everybody that I thought owed me something. And then as I surrendered them and said, you owe me nothing, you're free to go. What happens is forgiveness equals freedom.
Yeah.
There's a freedom.
Yeah.
And it happened immediately, instantaneously, instamatically.
Right.
Freedom, you know, came on the scene.
Yeah.
With forgiveness. And right now I'm in the last chapters of finishing my book that's going to be launched before the summer called Forgiveness Equals Freedom. You are one biblical decision. Unlock your prison with one biblical decision.
I love it.
That biblical decision is forgiveness. It's letting go. It's, you know, it's being able to just reconcile those relationships as, okay, this is what happened. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to take personal responsibility. And really, when we take personal responsibility and own the experience, it becomes a gift. It's no longer a curse. It becomes, it empowers me and inspires me. It doesn't disempower me or take my power any longer. And so that's the real gift, is when I surrender, go, and I forgive you, I keep my power.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to redefine the experience. Right? Can I change anything that's happened in the past? No.
Right.
But what I can change is what it means today.
Yes.
My father leaving my mother 53 years ago.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good. Except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Instead of it meaning that he doesn't love me, I can change that meaning to he left my mom, he didn't love her, but he certainly loves me.
Right.
Right. Those meanings that we give to our life experiences.
Yeah.
They come from us.
Right. Yeah.
We're giving our life meaning. So
yeah.
Why are we labeling things and giving things meanings that are destroying us and crushing us and disempowering us? I mean, we're in control of those meanings. Change the flipping meaning already.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. You know, and that's so true. You know, so many people focus on the negative, but if we start to really let go of that negativity, and we start looking at life more positively, I think that's when abundance comes in. So tell the world what it feels like to actually hit that peak where you feel abundance.
Oh my goodness. You know, Stacy, I was in the wholesale produce business selling fruits and vegetables to restaurants. And I was 31 and a half years old at the time. So I was clean for a year and a half, and I was maybe 6 months as a born again believer in Jesus Christ. And I get my fruit trucks out on the road, very early business, 6 o'clock, 6:30. They got to get out and go on their deliveries. And I usually go back in the cooler and I make a fruit salad for breakfast every morning. Grab a watermelon, a cantaloupe, a papaya, some mango, some berries, and, you know, go to my cutting board and make myself a beautiful fruit salad. And I remember this one morning, summer of 1996, I feel like, wait a second. I push the fruit away and I go, you know, today is a day for pancakes. I just was like, I'm not cutting fruit today. I'm going to get some pancakes. I drove down the street in North Miami, Florida, to the IHOP down the street from my warehouse. And I pull up, and there's this woman waiting to get in. It's like a minute to seven. The manager is just about to open up the door. And as I pull up, she's at the door, and I take a second look. I'm like, no way that can be her. So I get out of my truck. The manager unlocks the door. She goes in. I make my way up the steps. I go in. Where is she? I'm going to stalk this woman. Where is she? But she's sitting over there in the corner in the booth. Nobody else is in the restaurant. So I sit kind of adjacent to her so I can strike up a conversation.
Right.
And our breakfast is kind of served simultaneously as we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
She picks up her eggs and she slides into my booth. And now she's sitting across from me. I didn't say come on over. Like, she literally picked up her eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
And came into my booth. And she's looking me straight in the eye. She's, do you know who I am? My heart's racing so fast. Choke on my next breath. I'm like, but I played it cool. I was like, yeah, I know who you are. She's like, well, why haven't you said anything? I said, well, I don't think we're ever going to see each other again. And it just seemed like you needed a friend. And I wanted to be that friend. And
right.
I was encouraging her with some scripture. And, mm-hmm. you know, I paid for her breakfast and I prayed for her. And it was the most beautiful transaction that I had had since LifeSpring. And it was the most, one of the most meaningful transactions, because here I am having breakfast with Whitney Houston. And as I walk away from breakfast and leave, after an hour of spending time with Whitney, in a time where her husband was on the news cheating on her and she was in pain, she left her Williams Island penthouse apartment in Aventura and was driving around all night and ends up at IHOP. And because I decided I wanted pancakes, I'm in the path. And
yeah,
like, I'm fired up for Jesus and I'm clean, and I'm clear and I'm awake and I'm able to love on her and minister to her. Yeah. Yet I walk away and God's ministering to me saying, son, you're good enough to sit across from anyone. And that was my moment, my good enough moment. It was my second good enough moment. The first good enough moment was when I realized that Jesus hung on the cross and died for my sins. And I realized, wow, God died for me. I must be good enough. But then this one practical breakfast moment in my life really solidified, like, wow, she's one of the most popular women on the planet. And here I am ministering to her and loving on her and supporting her. And she's like, Mark, do you know, I can't do this with anybody in my life. I can't talk to anybody. And I am so blessed that you were here in my path today. And that one moment in my life set me up to write a 4-page letter to the 4-time champion, Evander Holyfield, when he couldn't get another fight. And he was 49 years old and he was broke and he didn't know what to do. And I offered him my help and I got a call to come help him. And then that relationship just led to so many other celebrities and athlete relationships and me going through life with such great people and just living the abundant life. Like, talk about living the abundant life. It was the moment with Whitney, the 4-page letter to Evander, and then God just used that to open up so many doors. And there's a scripture verse in the Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 22. And if you never read the Proverbs, it's a really easy way to grow close to God, because it's the book of wisdom. There's 31 Proverbs in the Bible.
Yes.
And so there's one for every day of the month. So whatever day of the month it is, today's the 15th, you go to Proverbs 15 and you read Proverbs 15. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29 says, do you see a man diligent? You used that word diligent before. Do you see a man diligent? And when the Bible says a man, it also refers to a woman. So do you see a man or a woman diligent in her work? He will stand before kings. And it was like, wait a second. Because of my diligence, because of my faith, because of my obedience to allow God to use me and for me to minister to other people, and have a desire to make a difference for others. Breakfast with Whitney, new relationship with the 4-time heavyweight champion, Evander Holyfield, and then so many others.
Right. If
my website, markfeinberg.com, there are dozens of video testimonies of people that I've gone through life with, and some really great, high achieving people that have taught me that, you know, I'm worthy of living in abundance. So for our listeners, if you want to live in abundance, number one, get close to God, read the scriptures, anchor your life in truth. And the truth of God's word is the perfect place to begin. Forgive. Forgive God for letting you down. Forgive yourself for letting yourself down. Forgive others and get your personal power back.
Yeah.
And then believe. Believe that you're worthy of having your best life right now. And then go out and physically do things that align up, that will line up with living your best life, whether it's relationally or financially or physically or emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Go make a plan and go do the things that are going to help you to live in abundance.
I love it. You know, those are great takeaways. You know, I was going to ask you, you know, give us a couple of takeaways for our listeners, but you just gave it, and they're amazing. I love it. Now, you authored, you know, previous books. You have a published book already. Can you tell everybody a little about the book that you published?
So my first book that I published was called The Champions in Business. And it was a compilation of my clients that were in business. And everybody had a chapter. And that was literally the very first publishing project that I did. And from there, I published a book called Full Power, Why Unforgiveness Steals Your Power and Three Simple Steps to Regain It. So that's on Amazon. And I talk about the chair exercise, and I walk you through how to do the chair exercise in that book. It's more of my personal story and my personal journey and biography. And at the same time, you know, I give you three steps to overcoming unforgiveness and getting your power back. And one of those steps, I take you through the chair exercise. After that, I wrote a book, the A Myth, Why You're Not an Addict and You Never Have to Go Back to Rehab Again.
Yeah.
And so that was a fun little project. And after that, I wrote a book called 31 Whys, which is my journal and me taking you through the 31 Proverbs on a journey to get wisdom for your life and finding that wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And certainly now I'm launching Forgiveness Equals Freedom. Unlock Your Prison.
I love it.
Cool decision. So this is my new passion, my new message. I want people to be free.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but from a very, very early on, there was a lot of multi-level marketing companies that promised time freedom and financial freedom if you joined their company. And you only invested a little money, and there was big hopes that you could make a lot of money and get your freedom back from working 9 to 5. And I remember always wanting financial freedom and time freedom, right? That's why I've always been in business for myself since I'm a kid.
Right.
I've been in business my whole life.
Yeah.
First in the produce company, you know, wholesale produce 22 years, then in the financial solutions in the crash of 08, I started a company called Crown Financial. That was 7 years before I sold that. And now as a biblical life coach and personal advisor. And it's not just time freedom. It's not just financial freedom. It's really personal freedom.
Yeah.
It's personal freedom that leads to all the other freedoms.
Yes.
Right? And it's forgiveness that opens up the door to personal freedom. Oh. And so this message now, as a matter of fact, tonight I'm going to be at Recovery Church in Delray Beach. So if you're listening to this live, you know, Recovery Church, Delray Beach, they've got a Facebook page. So we're going to do a Facebook Live. There's a YouTube channel. It'll be on YouTube. So my presentation of Forgiveness Equals Freedom is going to be live tonight at Recovery Church. And, you know, I'm very passionate about this because freedom is very important. And especially in the United States, we don't take our freedom lightly. And we, you know, we praise our military for giving us the freedom that we have in this country. We're one of the most powerful, beautiful, freest countries in the planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a sacrifice that people are paying for our freedom. You know, the military,
100%,
and the veterans, you know, the soldiers, they pay a price.
Yes.
And it's called the price of sacrifice. They're willing to sacrifice leaving their families for years at a time. They're willing to sacrifice limbs off their bodies. They're willing to sacrifice unto death.
Right.
So you and I can be free.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Jesus Christ was willing to sacrifice his life and hang on the cross.
Yep.
So that you and I could have freedom from our sin and be and that sin debt be paid in full, where we all we had to do was believe in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And now I want to sacrifice the rest of my life helping people to forgive God, themselves, and others.
Yes.
So they can live a life of freedom, a life of abundance, and be the masterpiece God created them to be.
Oh, I love it. You know, you're so passionate when you speak, and I could just feel the warmth and the positive energy just from listening to you. And I am so proud of you. All the accomplishments that you've come, you know, through, that you've achieved, and everything that you've gone through in life, you know, you took every obstacle that you went through in life and you turned it into something positive, and you took out everything you learned, and now you use it to help others. And that's a blessing in itself, you know, that you were able to go through this. And sometimes, you know, I feel like sometimes God puts us through a journey and we may not understand at the moment why we're going through this. And sometimes it's to teach us, to help, you know, we're helpers of God. And sometimes, you know, there's a purpose in life. I believe there's a purpose. Everything happens in life for a purpose, you know. And, you know, I think your purpose was to use everything you accumulated in life to help others. And that's what you're doing right now. And I'm so proud of you for that, you know, and for your books. If people want to get your books and learn from you, they can, where can they find your books?
Thanks, Stacey. I appreciate your generous words. And let me just say that each one of us has a story.
Yeah.
Each one of us has overcome something.
Yes.
Somebody listening may have overcome an abortion or a rape, overcome a divorce or a loss, overcome an addiction or alcoholism, overcome grief, overcome a business failure. Everybody listening today has overcome something.
Yes, for sure.
The cool thing is that you can take that something that you've overcome, that success, that you've overcome the challenge, and then help others.
Oh, yeah.
Same, right? That's what life coaching is. Life coaching is being able to advise and to counsel and to coach others in an area that you have expertise and that you've overcome.
Yeah.
So what I help my clients do is, because I'm in the Christian communities, I help my clients that are Christians become biblical life coaches so they can take their passion for God, their love for God's word, their disciplines of prayer and Bible study, and combine that with their life experience to become biblical life coaches. And so I just want to remind everybody that's listening to this show or watching this show that you're a coach because you've overcome something.
Right.
Excuse me. It's just a matter of being willing to offer that to humanity, being willing to believe that the pain you went through in the past is positioned to be the power in your purpose today.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's positioned to be the power in your purpose today.
Yes.
You have a story and you have a book in you. If you're watching this podcast or you're listening, you have a story, you have a book, you have an experience that can give hope and bring healing to others. Please don't hide it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible, my favorite book, it's not just a book. It's actually 66 books. 66 books.
Yep.
39 Old Testament books, 27 New Testament books, over 40 plus authors writing those 66 books.
Yeah.
Just imagine if Moses decided he didn't want to share the story. We wouldn't have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. We wouldn't have any of those. Imagine if King David didn't want to share his journey.
Right.
We wouldn't have the Psalms.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe 1 Kings, 2 Kings. What about Solomon, the wisest man to ever live?
Yep.
We wouldn't have the Proverbs. What about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We wouldn't have the Gospels.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have the four Gospels.
Right.
What about the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation? If he took that letter and threw it out or burnt it in the fire, we wouldn't know the prophecies that God wanted us to know for the end times.
100%.
I mean, just imagine if these people just decided, no, you know what? It's not worth sharing this story.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. This story would be incomplete.
100%.
So each one of us has a story. Stop hiding it. Start sharing it. Listen, I know Stacy can help you write a book if you want to become an author. I know that I can help you become a biblical life coach or a life coach if you want to share your story and get paid to help others overcome what you've already overcome.
Right.
If you want to find one of my books, all you got to do is Google my name, Mark Feinberg Books, or go to Amazon and Google Mark Feinberg, MarkFeinberg, and you'll find all the books that are available there on Amazon.
I love it. Now, yes. Where can people find you on your website? What is your website address?
MarkFeinberg.com.
Awesome. Yeah, oh my God. Great. This has been amazing, Mark.
That's because you're amazing, Stace. It takes one to know one, baby.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
My Says heart. The author of what, 20 something books herself?
Yeah, I've written quite a few.
Says the woman that wakes up every day helping other people to share their message on a podcast, the podcast queen herself. Come on.
Oh, you're too much. Oh, I love you, Mark. Oh, you're unbelievable. Listen, you know, I really hope that you'll come back on the show and share some more things, because there's so many things that we could talk about to help other people. And you are just amazing. You know, you have so much to offer. And before we go, is there anything else that you just want to tell the listeners before we end this?
You know, if I could gift the listeners something, I'd like to gift them a free copy of 31 Wise. And all they need to do is go to 31wise.com, 31, the number 31, W-I-S-E.com. And I'm happy to send them a free copy of my journal. All they have to do is pay the shipping and handling, and the book is free. And I'd love to put a copy of God's wisdom in your hands. If you need some advice or some counsel or some coaching, you can easily contact me on my website, and I'm happy to spend a half hour with you for free, just speaking into your life and hearing your story and figuring out some things with you. I'd be happy to do that. There's another gift. So there's two gifts for you, Stace.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really enjoyed this. And you share so much valuable information, and everything you've done with your life is a true miracle. And now you're producing miracles by helping others. So I just want to say thank you for just being, you know, a part of everyone, my life and other people's lives, and doing so much good in this world, because you're changing lives. And that's the biggest accomplishment you can do for somebody, is be able to change their lives. And if you could help one person, then that's all. You know, if we could change one person's life, you know. And I just want to say thank you just for being you, because you're amazing.
Thank you, Stacy. It's an honor to be going through life with you as well. And thanks for having me on your show.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
Okay, you too. God bless everyone.